Thank you, Mr. Hummel. And good afternoon, brethren. You know, as time goes by, you have a lot of conversations before and after church. You talk about different things, and sometimes it is things in the Bible. And every once in a while, a conversation comes up about something that we all know some about, and yet, quite honestly, we don't really have sermons on it. This subject that I'm going to talk about is called the place of safety. I don't know locally when we've had a sermon on the place of safety. I think it has to go back to Worldwide Days. And yet we all know about it, and you can go online, and there are some sermons. There's not a lot of sermons about the place of safety, but there are some. I've even heard people say, I'd really like a sermon on the place of safety. Or I kind of wonder about it. And as time goes by and you don't have anything said, it's like different ideas go different directions. So I thought today, I'm going to take the scriptures that are in the Bible, look at them honestly and fairly, and you may want to study them later on to get a bigger context of the whole thing. We're going to look at those scriptures that refer to this place of safety. The title I have, I like to give a title that is everybody knows right off the top of the bat, calling it the place of safety, but I'm going to call it the place prepared by God. And that, we will go to Revelation 12, verse 6, where that is actually used. I prefer that title instead of the place of safety. I prefer the place prepared by God because it gives an indication that God is invested in this place. He's invested. We will see that as we go through these scriptures. We will see how God is invested in it. He loves his people. He cares for his people. He is making this available to his people. And it's a beautiful thing, and I think we will all see the beauty of it as we go through it. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. We know of the seven churches that God talks to, and yes, they are all at the time of apostles, but they are at different times throughout history, and the Philadelphia church is what we look at as right close to the end of this age. And in Revelation 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And truly, if you're an old timer in the church, you've seen the door open. When Mr. Armstrong first preached, you've seen the door shut. I mean, we're struggling, but it's God's hand, and that's part of life. Drop down to verse 10. We see the qualities and what God will do for his people. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That is, in a nutshell, what God sees when he looks down at the Philadelphia church. I've given you truth. I've given you the way to live your life. And the Philadelphia church has persevered, has kept it, has held on to it. And because you have done that well, because you have persevered, because you have held on to the truth and just not gone to sleep. And we had a couple of weeks ago, Gary Petty, we had a sermon by Gary Petty on the Sardis church. What was their problem? He said they were dead. They were a church, but they were dead. The Ephesus church, you have lost your first love. It's easy. Churches lose that love. Philadelphia, he says, you persevered. God is proud of that example. And because of that, there is a promise that he gives as a blessing. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That hour of trial, you could call it the the Great Tribulation. I lost my train of thought there. The Great Tribulation is an hour of trial which will come on this whole earth. He promises the Philadelphians that he will keep them from that hour of trial. So we will see what he does in that promise to his church. That is an amazing promise. You can go through these other churches. It's not even talked about. It's not even talked about getting delivered from this trial. You drop down to verse 12. Here is the blessing, the end time promise of God for obedience. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. A pillar in his temple. What does that mean? Means the priests that teach the people. A pillar in a building, it isn't like the walls, but pillars really hold up the building. It is, as I looked in the concordance, a pillar is a support. And a support. In other words, yes, you have a support of a pillar in a building, but you need a support of people in the church during that time when new people are coming in to want to learn God's way. Jesus Christ is the high priest, but we are to be pillars. We are to be supports for Jesus Christ. We are to teach other people God's way of life. That's a big responsibility. Really. None of us want to make a mistake, but does anybody think they're qualified at this point to do that? I don't either. We aren't ready. But God will get us ready. You know, God doesn't leave anything unfinished. He will get us ready. But that's all part of this package of the place of safety. We'll see that as we go through it. Let's now go to Revelation chapter 12. Boy, there's so many things that happen in a short period of time. Really, there's a lot written about that period right before and during the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. Then the woman, or the church of God, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, and that's where I got my title, the place prepared by God, where she has a place prepared by God that they should be fed, that they should feed her 1,260 days. If you've got 360 days in a year, 1,260 days is 3.5 years. It's amazing how God interchanges these, and it all means the same thing. 1,260 days, 42 months, time, times, and half a time. All means the same thing, 3.5 years. So he says this, that they should feed her. God will feed his people for this 1,260 days. He will feed them. And he will have to feed us. It's not like we're going to be able to have gardens and have a lot of stuff. But he will feed us. I think it's truly not just physical, but he'll feed us spiritually. He will make the most of this 3.5 years. Truly, he will. We drop down to verse 7. We go back a little. This is before the Great Tribulation starts. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. We know that there was a war before the earth was created, where God and the angels fought as well. And Satan knows that this moment is coming, but they did not prevail. Satan and his demons, they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them anymore in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. God's people, none of us can overcome Satan. But Jesus Christ, through the death of his son, through the death of Jesus Christ himself, died for us to cover our faults, our problems, our sins. And we need to hold on to God's way of life. We need to persevere, as we saw in Revelation 3. We need to do what we need to do to obey God, put God ahead of anything physical on this earth, to the point that you and I can say, they did not love their lives. God's way is more important than anything physical. That we have to put. We have to say that. We have to live our lives in that direction. It says so here in verse 11. They did not love their lives to death. Obedience to God is more important. And it's brought up here. Drop down to verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, meaning Jesus Christ. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, you can look at this verse 14 and you say, ooh, given two wings of a great eagle. We're going to fly somewhere. And that may be true. We may fly somewhere altogether. But the fact is, even in the book of Exodus, where it talks about the children of Israel, see if I can find this verse. I know I've had it written down somewhere. But there is a verse in Exodus when they're getting out of Egypt. It says they fled on eagle's wings. They fled on eagle's wings. They did not have planes back at that time. Nobody carried them. They walked. But that term is used meaning they had flight from the place where they came out. There are parallels between this Exodus and the exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Truly, it's a pretty amazing. I've actually put together another sermon about this thing, and it's amazing the parallels between the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and God's people going to that place of safety. So we see this. That's verses 13 and 14. So there is a fleeing. Just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, it's like we have to come out of the world, come out of sin, and God will take us to his place. Go down to verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. We all know these verses very well. The serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood. Now, in parables and in different times in the Bible, they will use that word flood, meaning an army. This can be an army. And I can't take a, no, we don't know at this time. So I just have to put it out what I see it. It could be a flood. The earth will open up, and that flood will go into this big hole. It probably will be an earthquake. That earth will split apart. This flood will go down into it. But there is the possibility it could be an army. And I think we need to look at that. You take Revelation 13, verse 4 and 5. We know there is a person that comes, and they's called the beast. Revelation 13, verse 4. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, this leader of 10 nations in Europe. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Why is he considered so great? Because Satan is influencing him and is making him do what he wants. Satan is dictating this beast, and he's only there for how long? Verse 5. "And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. 3.5 years. The children of Israel will come out of the world and head to this place of safety. 3.5 years, 1,260 days, they will head to this place of safety. If Satan influences this person called the beast at exactly the same day, what does he want that beast to do? Of all things Satan wants, he wants to destroy God's people. He has the world under his finger, but he doesn't have God's people under his finger. So if he has a leader who has a government, he will have armies. And if he has armies, he will make that beast say, go after those people. They're bad people. They're coming over here by the hordes in these planes or walking or whatever. They're coming here. We need to kill them because they're a detriment to the world. They're trying to take the world over. So there is that possibility. It could be an army. And Satan could be using the beast, that person, to go after God's people. But we see that miraculously, the earth opens up. It's only God that's doing this, opening the earth up, swallowing up that flood. And after that, when Satan sees that, does he kind of go the back door? No. Verse 17. "The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of the offspring of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." There's others that didn't go. As we look at the Laodiceans, they were lukewarm. They did not have what it took to go. So they're not there. But it's amazing to me, as I look at this, that Satan, he sees, oh, I didn't get the ones I really wanted. You would think he would say, I got another plan. We're going to drop a nuclear weapon on this place. But he knows probably the makeup of this hiding place better than any of us do. And he knows, I will not get this woman. I won't get her. I don't care what kind of a bubble it is. He knows that he has no ability to get her. So he goes after the remnant, the people that he can get to, that are out there. And God will allow him to do more of that stuff. So we see that. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we are preserved. Satan knows we are preserved and we are solid, and Satan will never get to us. Let's turn to Zephaniah chapter 2. In preparing, who's going to be spared? Who is not going to be spared? The preparation for this escape, the time before it even happens, Zephaniah kind of shows us a little bit of that. Zephaniah 2. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. So if you know where Zechariah is at, it's two books back from that. So I know Zephaniah is a little bit hard to get to, so I'll give you a little bit extra time to get there. Zephaniah chapter 2. And verse 1. "Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, and pray at the world, and I go pouring out these plagues." Before this comes, this is what you need to do. Verse 3. "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth. Seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? You pray to God. Action. You pray to God. Seek the Lord. Be meek. Don't think you have the answers. Don't think you know where this place is and you know how to. You're just going to buy yourself a ticket that you can go anytime you want. It isn't going to happen, folks. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth. We won't, but in Luke 21, verse 26, it says, "Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Watch and pray always that you're worthy to escape. We want to be counted worthy to escape. It's obedience to God that's more important than knowing the strategies of what's going to happen in this whole process. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice, who've obeyed him. Seek righteousness. Don't think you are so great, but realize we need to live as God wants us to live. That is first and foremost. Whether we live and die before this time of going to the place of safety happens or not, it's what we need to do. Live righteously. Be humble. And then it says, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That anger is for 3.5 years. That is amazing. There again, as in Revelation chapter 3 with the Philadelphia church, it says that you may be hidden. You obey God, you do what he says, and God will take care of you if that is best for you. God will take care of you. So we see that. And this is a blessing because it happens. We aren't involved in the tribulation at all. Now that's a blessing, a huge blessing, as it says to the Philadelphia church. It's a blessing that we don't have to deal with that. But you know what? There's going to be hesitation because it's going to happen before. What if America is going on and it seems like, whoa, things are going pretty good here. Things are going pretty good. And you get the message, time to go, time to go. You got to give up your home. You got to give up your relationship with your family. You have that savings account that you have and you say, wow, it's not falling apart yet. Everything is okay. There is the poles of the world. And that's why it says we are to put God first above everything else. And this is a bigger test that it happens before everything falls apart than if it was in the midst of everything falling apart. It truly is. And I don't think any of us here can say, oh, I can do it. I can walk away. It's like, it's going to be a test. And I got a feeling some of the relatives, when they find out you're going to go, they're going to say, oh, it's another Jim Jones thing. I get it. And I understand it. It makes sense. This is going to be a huge test. And some, that's why there is a remnant left. I truly believe that's part of the reason why there is a remnant left. It's going to be putting God ahead of everything else. It's big, folks. It's really big. So we see that. Let's turn to Isaiah 26, another one that talks about this. Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers. Shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. 3.5 years in the picture of 6,000 years of mankind is a drop in the bucket, isn't it? Until for a little moment, he says, hide yourself for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. God will punish the world for their iniquity. We just saw God's anger will be poured out on the world, but God will protect you before that ever happens. And here again, Isaiah 26 kind of ties in with everything else that we've seen up to this point. So the question is, where is this place? Where is this place prepared by God? And this is where you see speculation going all over. And I thought, we don't have a specific answer, but we've got some scriptures, and we'll lay out what we've got. And as time comes, if we are the ones fortunate enough to go, we will see the scriptures, we will understand things, and that will help us to make that right decision. So we don't know where it's at, but we will take a look at a couple places. Isaiah 16. We're not too far away. Isaiah 16, verse 1. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land. And we will see this ruler of the land. This land is Moab. And Moab today is Jordan. Send the lamb. And Jesus Christ is the true shepherd, and his sheep are those who follow him. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, meaning the land being Moab. So the ruler, may have some knowledge of these people coming. Truly. I know, you know, if you're looking at it, and you look at it in detail, the ruler of this nation may actually know that we're going to come there. And he's going to be willing. It was just amazing. Nebuchadnezzar knew God. Cyrus of Persia knew God. They were rulers of the land at different time, and God worked with them to get what he wanted from them. From Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Selah is a word many of us know. It just means the rock. And in that, figuratively, it can mean a fortress. It can be a hiding place. So we look at it as Petra, and I know a lot of people have their eyes on Petra. There's other churches in the world, not churches of God, just other churches in the world that believe that same thing. And Petra is a place that people go to. Many, many people have gone there. It almost makes me wonder if it won't be a little different place, but it'll be rock, it'll be a fortress. I don't know. This is just all we know. This place is a rock. It's a fortress in the wilderness to the mount of the daughter of Zion, it says. And we drop down to verse 3. Take counsel. Execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcasts. Do not betray him who escapes. You know, and I look at this little statement, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. If you have a shadow, if you have a light on and you're going to see a shadow, and if you have a shadow at night, you don't see a shadow, do you? It's like there's not a shadow there. So if you make your shadow like the night, it's not seen. Even though it's the middle of the day, it's like God's people, they're there, they're in a place, but nobody even knows where they're at. They're like a shadow in the night. But it's the middle of the day. The people are out there. There's killing going on. Satan, of all people that he would want to kill, are these people. But Satan can't get to them. I don't know that he even knows exactly where they're at. They're like night in the middle of the day. I would imagine the people in Jordan may not know the spoiler. Could be Satan, could be the beast is the spoiler. They're both. The beast has the mind of Satan directing him. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. We know that. We know that Christ will come down. The armies of the world will be destroyed. And it's really not a long period of time, 3.5 years, when you really come right down to it. But God says, hang in there. Devastation will cease. It will come to end. In mercy, the throne will be established, and one will tabernacle of David, judging, seeking justice, and hastening righteousness. That's what we all look forward to. That's what the people in the place of safety are looking forward to as well. So we see that. This bubble that is so hidden that even the armies in the world to it are where, maybe they're even where these people are at. Daniel 11, verse 40 and 41. Daniel 11, verses 40 and 41. This doesn't go specifically to the children of Israel, but it does talk about Moab and what God will protect even that nation of Moab, since God's people are there. Daniel 11, verse 40 and 41. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, the king of the north, and the king of the north shall come against him, the king of the south, like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, Jerusalem area. He will enter Jerusalem. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape his hand. Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. Those three, if you get an Old Testament map, there is the Jordan River, Dead Sea below it, Sea of Galilee above it. On the east side is where the children of Israel were first before they came into the Promised Land, which was on the west side of the Jordan River. Moab was the nation they actually were in as they went across to conquer Jericho. Below Moab is Ammon, is Edom. Above Moab is Ammon. So, amazingly, God says, I'm going to protect Edom, Moab, and Ammon. And it says in verse 42, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So there's going to be a lot of countries that are going to be destroyed, but miraculously, not these three. God's protection will be on his people, even on those nations. Now, in the end, you're going to see a lot of scriptures that talk about Moab being destroyed. But God will protect his people. That is the beauty of it all. The place prepared by God. What else do we know about it? Let's go back to Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, another one that talks about this place of safety. And we saw God Zephaniah? There was a scripture that said God would give them food. That was in Revelation 12, I believe. Isaiah 33, and starting in verse 10. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Nobody exalts God, but God will, through the great tribulation, will cause people to turn to him. That's what he's talking about. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. You shall conceive chaff, the world. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be like the burnings of lime. So we see, he says, the earth is going to be destroyed. The people are going to be destroyed. Verse 14, the sinners of in Zion, and this is in the city of Jerusalem, in the nation of what we call Israel today. The sinners in Zion, they're afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? They're asking the question, how can anybody be saved from this mess? There's just armies and there's destruction and there's such burning heat. As we know, all of the plagues that are poured out in the book of Revelation, we see it, and you understand why there is so much death and destruction. And they ask the question, who can escape this? Verse 15 gives the answer. he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Obedience to God. I don't care how bad things are. If they come at you with a gun, you don't fight back. You have obedience to God. Not even lying to someone. Obedience has to be, and God will honor that obedience. And what does it say? He will give them. Verse 16. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Truly, as we look at that nation today, it's not going to be a pretty place. It's not going to be a place that can grow their own crops. I don't think we will be placed in a garden of greenhouses. But God will provide, as he did the children of Israel as they went through the wanderings, as they ate manna. I don't know. I kind of wonder if we may have manna again. If you got ladies, you may take your recipe books on manna and see what you can do. I don't know. But God will provide, and it's up to us to not do what the children of Israel did when they went into the wilderness. Grumble, grumble, grumble. We are to be grateful that we are spared. We are in the bubble. We are so much better than the rest of the world. 3.5 years. You know how long that is? I mean, if you're there, it's quite a while. I can't believe that God will just leave us there and we will learn how to play golf with sticks and rocks or take a deck of cards and play games all the time. God is going to work with us. He says of the Philadelphia church, I will preserve you. I will take care of you. I will put you in a place. But then down below it says you're going to be priests. Priests of God. And I think, truly believe, this is my speculation, okay? Because I can't read this from the Bible. But I truly believe somebody will fix us. Every church of God, and there's many churches of God, but we all have a little different ideas. You and I have a different ideas than our own church. We all have scriptures that we don't understand, and we knock our heads against it every once in a while, because I would like to know that scripture. We will have to know. Now, maybe Michael, the archangel of Israel, maybe Michael will come down. Maybe he will teach us. I'm going to throw this out. Maybe Jesus Christ would teach us. Somebody who is in authority will teach us, and we will respect it. And I think even whether it's us or maybe 10 years later or whatever, or 100 years later, the priests that go into the temple and are the pillars, if you could talk to them and you ask, How do you view that time and the place of safety? They're going to say, it was wonderful. It was great. I learned so much. I'm a priest. It definitely pictures the millennium. But verse 17, they've got included in that. And yet, as I look at it, I don't see it as the millennium. It says, your eyes, as those who, I look at it as 16, who are in that place of safety, your eyes will see the King in his beauty. Capitalized King, it is Jesus Christ. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. They will also see the land that is very far off. What land is that? That's Jerusalem. That place of safety, you see Jerusalem. It is far off at that point, but it will come. Now, maybe that's not right. Maybe God will, through angels or something else will come down and will give us the information we need. But I look at what I do look. Jesus Christ came down to set up the New Testament church. What did he do? For 3.5 years, he worked with the disciples. And the disciples became the apostles who started the New Testament church. How long did he work with them? 3.5 years. Schooling for 3.5 years. He's here or not. It will be a training for 3.5 years. Mr. Waterhouse had a name for this. He called the place of safety the place of final training. Mr. Armstrong called it the place of final training. And I look at Jesus Christ with those disciples for 3.5 years. He needed that 3.5 years to work with them, to help them along. And I think we need to be helped along. That 3.5 years is going to be a training program. And if Christ came down, and this is my speculation again, if he's here for 3.5 years, that would make 7. The number 7 is always perfection. I always look at 7 as perfection. And I think, 7 years. Perfect. Perfect. He trains his people for 7 years. And maybe it won't be. Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be that at all. But in the end, we will be taught. We will be protected. We will have what we need. I say we, and maybe it's not us, maybe it's just another generation down the road. But God's people will have what they need through that time. God will prepare a place for his people when God's wrath is poured out on this whole earth. Wherever God protects us, it will have to be of a divine protection, as we just saw. Where else would you want to be? Where else on this earth would you want to be? You can't figure out a way to protect yourself. God has to be our protection. And we have to now obey. So if that time is in our age, that we can be saved, we can be spared. Let's go back to Revelation 3 again. I thought, how could I finish this off? And I think, let's take one more look at the promise God gives to his Philadelphia church. That's what we need to look at, yearn for. Thank God that in his love and his consideration gives us that moment, that opportunity to be in his family. And he's working with us, even growing us during that 3.5 year period of time. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere. That's what we need to do. Persevere to the very end. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. God's protection. That's a beautiful verse. And then verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. How much better can it get? We all need to pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape. But obedience is first and foremost. God will protect those who qualify, who make it, can make it into that protection that not even Satan can break through. He will feed us. He will give us physical food. He will give us spiritual food. What a blessing that God is our protector and sustainer.